Blog Talk Radio.
Emily Williams' musical career began professionally at age 6, but as we discovered, she actually began playing at the age of 2. When we spoke with Mary Lou, she began by telling us how she happened to get such an early start.
It seems that I used to get a great mess around the house when my mother was practicing, so what she did really was to put me on her lap while she was playing. She played an old-fashioned organ, so she said one day while she was pumping the organ, my fingers beat her fingers to the keyboard and began playing. And I've been professional for years, you know, and at 12 years old, I was traveling everywhere.
For several years, you left the jazz scene to concentrate on another very important aspect of it. Can you tell us why you gave up being professional at that time?
I think it was just a turning point in my life. I really don't know. I've been asked that a million times, and I don't know. I just think I stopped on my own. I began praying in Paris. A musician took me to his grandmother's house, and I prayed at least 11 months before I came back to America. I canceled all my work and everything, and I began praying for at least 10 years straight. Off and on, Jesse Gillespie was such a wonderful guy. He would call me to go out on dates with him, and I'd go back in the house and pray again.
I know that you were conducting at the time that you were not playing in public. You were working in a church in New York, I believe it was, and you would invite musicians down to play with you in the church. And some of the people,
yes,
like Paul,
right,
came and all these
months. Right. I take the church with me. I took him home. The first time I took him home, he was frightened. He thought I was going to die. He said nobody ever asked him to go to church before. He slipped and fell as we were going in.
That was Mary Lou Williams in an interview, who was a feature artist from last week's show. And this is Dr. Walter Dean from Getting It Done. That intro was produced by a group called Journey Through NYC Religion. And when we think of a genius in music, we think of Earl Garner and a few others like Charlie Parker. However, you heard it, Mary Lou was one also. Anybody who starts playing a piano, by the time they are 2 years old, you know they had to be on it, really. We're going to listen to one song. I can't get enough of this lady because she's just so great. Lady who swings, let's listen here what she sounds like.
In Kansas City, there's a pretty gal named Mary Lou, and she plays the
piano. Mary Williams is one of the greatest composer, arranger, and musicians in jazz history. Duke Ellington's highest form of praise was to say that someone was beyond category. Mary Lou Williams is beyond category.
The history of the music is in everything she writes. The blues is always there. It always swings. You can listen to her and only her and get what jazz is all about. Was always bucking against what the norm was and trying to expand this notion of what jazz was. She didn't want to be boxed in. She didn't want to be labeled.
Her contribution to this music made her a pioneer, irrespective of gender. But Mary Lou Williams is not well known because she's a woman. Music is so male-controlled that it's very difficult for women instrumentalists to get any respect. If you want to really see some piano players, let me know if there's a condition that exists that needs help. And I'll do something. I'm like a big bear there doing it. I'll just go through all kind of changes to do good.
That was Mary Lou Williams doing a piece called The Man I Love. I really just can't get enough of this lady. However, there are some other individuals that I would like to get to today. And the first one that we're going to listen to and I'm going to talk to you about is a singer and piano player by the name of Blossom Dearie. I tried to talk about her earlier. However, my computer got mixed up and I never really got a chance to tell a whole story about this fantastic artist. Blossom Dearie was born April the 28th, 1924, and she passed on February the 7th, 2009. Was an American jazz singer and pianist. She was physically petite, with a recognizable light and girlish voice. One of the Last Supper clubs and Cabernet's performed. She performed regularly engagements in London and in New York City over many years. And she collaborated with many musicians, including Johnny Mercer, Miles Davis, Jack Siegel, Johnny Mandel, and Dave Fischerberg, as well as Jay Bindler. I'm going to see if I can pull something up. And when I do that, I'm going to pull up something so you can actually hear such a girlish sounding voice that she had. Let's listen to something that she did. If I can get it up. Here it is. Let's see. Here she is. Here we go. If they'll give it to me, yeah, they give it to me. This one's Blossom right here playing and singing.
Say you're fond of fancy things, diamond clips and emerald rings, and you want your man to come through, give him the ooh-la-la. When your car is asked to stop by a handsome traffic cop, unless you want a ticket or two, give him the ooh-la-la. If Napoleon at Waterloo, la la, had an army of debutantes to give the British the well-known ooh la la, he'd have changed the history of France. When your favorite Romeo grabs his hat and starts to go, don't reveal the fact that you're blue. Don't break down and start to boo-hoo. There's just one thing for you, la la, too, la la, do, la la. Like Tallulah, just give him the ooh, la la. If Napoleon at Waterloo, la la, had an army of debutantes to give the British the well-known ooh la la, he'd have changed the history of France. When your favorite Romeo grabs his hat and starts to go, don't reveal the fact that you're blue. Don't break down and start to boo. There's just one thing for you, la la, do, la la, do, la la. Like Tallulah, just give him the ooh la la. The ooh la la. The ooh la la. You'd better be like Tallulah. Don't be a fool. Give him the ooh.
Give him the ooh la la la. And that was Blossom Dearie. And she's unlike many of the other performers that I have been presenting to you. Started actually performing when she was 16 to 18 years of age, and with actually played with bands. But if you can hear, what she did not do a lot of improvisation. However, she did sing jazz songs. Here's one song Dearie plays. It's called Sophisticated Ladies.
They say into your early nights romance came, and in this heart of yours burned a flame, a flame that flickered one day and died away. With disillusion deep in your eyes, you learn that fools in love The years have changed you somehow. I see you now. Smoking, drinking, never thinking of tomorrow. None shall want. Diamond shining, dancing, dining with some man in a restaurant. Is that really all you want? No. Sophisticated lady, I mean, you missed a love you lost long ago, and when nobody is nigh, you cry.
Taylor. She was on Billy Taylor's show back in the 1980s, and when that song, Sophisticated Lady, is one of Duke Ellington's songs, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, I'm listening to this lady sing and perform.
Come through, give him the
That's pushing the right kind of buttons, but I'm wrong at the wrong time. What I wanted to say about this lady, many of the songs that she is singing, the first song, Ooh La La, and the Sophisticated Lady, were songs that were off the beaten path, but that at the same time, that still had a jazz sort of ring to it. Her improvisations were just playing straight the song or the melodies as opposed to going out in space someplace and writing all kinds of, or playing all kinds of dimensions, either major modes or minor modes. We're going to listen to one more song, and then we're going to move on to another artist who you, I think you'll like. But I'm going to listen to, I would like to listen to this one called Lush Life.
This song is called Lush Life. It was written by Billy Strayhorn. He wrote the words and the music. It's a very sad song, and it took me 11 years to learn. Very difficult to play and even harder to sing. And on top of that, it's sad.
Thank you.
Yes, that was Blossom Dearie, Lush Life, written by the late, great Billy Strayhorn, who was actually a sidekick of the great Duke Ellington. He wrote and arranged music for Duke. And in fact, when he passed on, Duke indicated that he felt like part of him had been gone, had been wiped away. And that's a big person would indicate that, because that's what he did. Let me tell you about the next artist that we're going to have. And that one is by a person by the name of Hazel Scott. Hazel Scott was born in June the 11th, 1920, and passed on October the 2nd, 1981. She was actually born in Trinidad and was taken at the age of 4 by her mother to New York City. You might say that she was a child prodigy also. She was prominent as a jazz singer throughout the 1930s and 1940s. And in 1950, she became the first black person to have a TV show. Most people think it was Nat King Cole, but it wasn't. It was this lady right here, Hazel Scott, who was not only an outstanding musician, but married an outstanding man by the name of, let's see, what was his name? I can't even remember that. But she went to Juilliard, by the way, and I'll come back to that. She went to Juilliard School of Music when she was like very early. I think she was 16 years of age, as did Mary went to the Juilliard also at a very early age. I think the last artist, Mary Lou Williams, went to Juilliard when she was 9 years old. Hazel Scott went to Juilliard when she was between the ages of 12 to 16. That's when she graduated, when she was 16. And she was married to Adam Clayton Powell. That's who I was trying to think of, who was a probably big-time preacher or minister, as you might call him, in New York City, at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, the largest Baptist church actually in New York. So she had an opportunity, and she performed quite a bit with the great Lena Horne. And not only did she perform, my goodness gracious, that you can't say enough about her. Eventually she left this country and went to perform over in Europe because she couldn't get along with people here. She was married to Adam Clayton Powell for a grand total of 12 years. But Congress had her come in and sit down, and they tried to make her into being a communist because she had gotten to be a very, very, very powerful lady. And but because of that, she really never got a chance to show all of the skills and the abilities that she had that allowed her to go on and become something great. And I'm going to see if I can find something that she did and pull it up. No, but that's Mary McFarlane, so that's not the right one. Let's see. Hazel Scott is the one I'm on right now. And so that's not the one. But I put so many things up on this doggone tube, sometimes it's difficult to pull them all up. But what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time. I'll tell you about her, and we'll go on and move on to, Mary McFarlane, and who I thought was a great artist also. Mary McFarlane was from England. A pianist, composer, writer, and the host of the Mary McFarlane Piano Jazz National Public Radio Show, which I constantly listened to when I was much younger, thought she was one of the greatest. I remember buying one of my first albums that I purchased when I was really young of Mary McFarlane. She was a white female who was not a native of America, but had fast fingers. Very good friend of Teddy Wilson, George Shearing, and Billy Taylor. And she didn't sing, but played a lot of fantastic music. And let me see if I can pull something of hers up. I'm hoping. Here we go. Let's try this for you for some pleasure. Okay, here we go. Well, why won't you cooperate with me? What have I done to you to cause me so much pain? Okay, here we go. Mary McFarlane, and one of the very first albums that I purchased when I was like in my teenage years, when I really started listening to jazz. One of the things I found about her that was so remarkable was her ability to play, and you couldn't tell that it was a woman. She could improvise and play just like a man. Had long fingers. Here she is again with Billy Taylor. If I can pull it up, let's see here's Billy Taylor and her. Marilyn McFarlane, Billy Taylor, and I Wish I Knew. We'll be right back. can see, both of those guys really had a pleasure playing together. That was Billy Taylor from Marion McFarlane on a song called "I Wish I Knew." But they were playing together, and you heard the first song that she did when she was playing by herself. I'd like for you to hear one of her arrangements, which is so sweet. This is an arrangement playing by Mary McFarlane. I don't know why it's not coming up, but let's see what happens. They seem like they're giving me an opportunity to play it. Is called "In the Days of Our Love" by Mary McFarlane, her own creation. What a touch she had on the piano. Not only were the improvisations, but also the fingers just seemed to melt a beautiful sound. I could always tell when I heard her style because of the beautiful sound that she was able to present. Great job. We're going to listen to her one more song and probably close out the show with her. And I would like to tell you that next week, on next Friday, this coming Friday, I will do nothing but Hazel Scott. But this is a Mary McFarland also. And the woman, to me, is the epitome of greatness.
I got a scholarship, the Froskell Hutchinson Prize, which allowed me to take to study music, and I did with Milton Babbitt, who is, and even then was the avant-garde composer, but
yes.
Who had a particular interest and has a particular interest in show music and jazz.
I can imagine getting to work with a guy like that.
And what we did was, which is wonderful, we would spend the first hour dissecting DeSilva, Brown, and Henderson, and the next 3 hours dissecting Beethoven. And
you got both sides.
Exactly. And his point was that the composition techniques are exactly the same, whether you're writing a three-minute piece or an hour piece. And they are. And we would. I taught at Oxford a few years ago, and I repeated, and I remembered so well, his analysis of All the Things You Are, which is, you know, some of Kern's forms are extraordinary. And that may be the only song in which the tonic is never stated until the last chord.
I used to, but
I don't anymore. And his harmony is so subtle, I wouldn't do it. You know, he's one of the few guys who makes a distinction between the kind of vamp that goes and the kind that goes. Whether you have the seventh, whether you have the third in the bass or the fifth in the bass, that's the kind of thing he does. And that's what Milton kept pointing out to me, so I wouldn't play it. But if you study All the Things You Are, it starts in the relative minor, ends up in the major, but it never states the tonic.
I never knew that. Let me just play it back.
Please, please. It's a regular AABA form, and only in passing does it. I learned it in A flat. That's the only time, and even there, we've got the seventh in it, but everything else. And it's also a circle of fifths, but the fifths break when he does the tritone, and it's the defining tritone of the keys coming from the keys going to it. It goes on and on. And I asked Milton, I said, you mean he thought of all these things while he's writing this, what seems like a, you know, a tune that just comes out of nowhere?
It's false thing.
He said, no, he said, it's like learning to drive a stick shift car. You get the technique, and it's in you forever and ever. Once you've learned the technique, you are applying it all the time. I remember I was talking to Dick Rogers about People Say We're in Love, and I said, you know, it's so wonderful the way the release of that is the inversion of the main tune, you know, don't throw the case to me, don't it? And the release goes, don't, blah, da, 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 da. And he never thought of it himself. He said, I'm sorry you told me. But you see, it was innate. I mean, because it came from inside. It's the inversion. Blah, blah. Absolutely. And these things then become a kind of second nature. All Oscar told me, Hammerstein, because, you know, he wrote a lot with Kern, including All the Things You Are, that he would be sitting in a room writing a lyric, and in the next room he'd hear, I'm obviously making this up, but this is the idea. Every conceivable note, and once you decide on that one, you go on to the next one. So these tunes that sound as if they were written, you know, in a breath.
Mm-hmm.
It's like E.B. White's writing. It sounds so simple, but it takes him 3 days to compose a paragraph.
Wow. That was, ever believe it, that was a Jerome Kern song called The Way You Are, and also the words by Richard Rodgers. And, of course, that was Mary McFarland talking to one of the great Susskind. We're going to sort of play till the end. This is Mary McFarland with Chick Corea. I'm quite sure you might have heard of him. The great Chick Corea is, I don't know if he was on her show or not, but Mary McFarland in some kind of discussion. And this should take us to the conclusion of the program. And I'll just say have a good day, y'all, and be cool. And the next time my show will be on at 4:30 on Friday till 5:30, and we'll be featuring the great Hazel Scott. Thank you. That was Spain by Chick Corea and Merritt McFarlane on one of her jazz shows that she had. And as I said before, we're going to end this show, but we're going to be listening to her all the way through the end. And this is with her trio. You know, she played with the trio, but a lot of people don't realize that. She didn't always play by herself. But she did play with the trio. Here she is.
Thank you.